So the Spirit came down in a powerful way on Pentecost. And all the people who had gathered for this holy day heard the disciples speaking in their own languages. And they were overwhelmed and confused and amazed and all of those things. And Peter gets up and tries to make some explanation of what's going on. He preaches a sermon. And this is a big deal for Peter, probably his first, you know, big sermon. And he has a powerful effect, except that we have to remember this is about the Spirit, right? And so this is kind of what happens at the end of that first day. Listen for God to speak to you through these words. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who were far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he has testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." So those who were welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now all came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to the wonders and the words, to the movement of the Spirit in and amongst us, to the gathering of God's people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this Sunday is also Trinity Sunday, and typically that's the day the preacher explains to everybody how the Trinity works. So I'm going to explain it to you in one sentence. It's a mystery. Right. Well, I saw the other day kind of a diagram of it. I like to use the Celtic diagram, the Trinity, because it shows that there's this interaction between these three persons that we understand to be God. The Holy Spirit, the Creator and the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, right? And they interact constantly with each other, and we see it in Scriptures. Peter stands and preaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, but the message he shares with them is the good news of Jesus Christ and the call to repent, to turn again to God and what God has planned and promised for all of us. It's this constant interaction between these three persons, and not persons as in human beings, but as in character and in substance, these three that do this constant dance with one another. And these three are the ones who have gathered us here today to be the community of faithful, to be God's people, to be the church. And in particular, it's the way the Spirit is moving through us and through those early converts that caused them to come together and work with each other to be about sharing the good news and the work of Christ in the world. So does that make it all make sense for you now? You got that cleared up? Okay, but I want to talk today and this summer as we gather in Calvin Hall and get into the book of Acts about this community that becomes the church and this church that is called to be part of the community. Now, the first challenge we have as a church or this newly born community is, of course, that God, when He sent the Spirit down, sent it upon all kinds of people, speaking all kinds of languages, coming from all kinds of places and experiences, and tries to gather them together in a group. You all know how that works, right? How hard it is to pull together a group full of diverse people. And even as I look out here, there's some diversity in our church, but we're fairly alike in many ways, right? We all live in Elmhurst. Well, that's not true either, is it? we are all from Presbyterian backgrounds, right? Oh, no, that's not true either. We are all Scottish-Irish descent, good Presbyterians, right? No, oh, that's not true either. What I'm trying to say to you is we are not as alike each other as we think. So then it must be that we are all of the same mind about how we should live and how we should engage in the community, right? We're all of the same mind about that? No, not really. We like to come together on some things, right? We have come together around our PADS program. We've come together around our children's program. But sometimes we find ourselves at odds with each other about maybe what the preacher is saying, maybe what we're talking about in book group, maybe the direction that our mission is going. We have differences, don't we? So the question I have is, what did the early church do that perhaps we're about that helps us get past some of that stuff? Well, I think it's the practices that they engaged in. I think when they came together to eat around the table, everybody's hungry, right? Everybody needs to eat. And even though we probably have some differences of opinions about what we need to eat, most of us enjoy the time around the table, even with folks who might be a little bit different than us, who might think a little bit different than us, right? When you have food, there's at least something in common. You could at least talk about whether you're liking the food, whether it's too spicy or whatever, right? So I think this practice of gathering around the table and eating together was one of the ways that that early community got past some of these differences. Okay? The other thing they did is they prayed together. Now, if you have to pray for someone else, you can't spend a whole lot of time being mad at them or arguing with them when you're called to pray for them, right? It certainly, I think, the reason Jesus invites us to pray for our enemies, because then we have to think about them differently, right? Because we're praying for their welfare, for their healing, for their openness to the Spirit. Whatever it is, I think prayer is one of those things that draws us together. When we pray for each other, it doesn't hurt that Jesus gave us a prayer that we can share with one another. So I think that's one of the other reasons that the early church found a way to start not only getting to know each other, but working through some of the differences and the challenges of that early church. The other thing they were doing together was listening to the apostles tell the stories of Jesus. And of course, Jesus was the thing that gathered them all to this place. Jesus was the thing that they were all engaged in wanting to hear about, right? Jesus is the reason we're all here, right? So I think, again, sitting together, studying the scriptures, listening to the stories of the apostles, was a way to build this community of diverse people. It didn't mean they all thought or about the same way about these stories or about these scriptures, but it meant that together they were working on it. They were seeking understanding. They were longing for God's guidance in the midst of that. So I think the practice of eating together and praying together and studying scripture together is one of the ways this odd community, this community of odds and ends, started to become one. Now, there is one other thing in this text that they did together that people like to skip over. Do you all know what I'm talking about? All their possessions they shared with one another. She said, oh gosh, here comes the stewardship sermon now. You're in luck, because I'm going to leave that to a later time in Acts, because there's a better story for it. But I do want to suggest that they began to support and attend and to care for each other in a way that they hadn't before. And it wasn't just one way. It wasn't just me caring for Susan here. It was her caring for me. It was mutual. It was going back and forth. Anyone who had need was being attended to. And those who had resources were sharing them. The other day when we looked at this during our session meeting, we looked at this text. It was determined that the early church, from the very beginning, we had rummage sales and potlucks. And this is it right in this text in Acts, right? Bring all your stuff in and we'll share the proceeds in our mission, right? And gather around the table, and we each bring something to share, right? So, I'm alone wondering a little bit more about this early community, because though they were still part of the Jewish community at this point, they were starting to feel the tension and the disrupt as they tried to push people to understand and to trust and to believe in Jesus. The Jewish synagogues and communities and families started to resist them a little bit. And soon enough, they'll be put out of the synagogue. This was not Jesus' intention. This has just happened when the differences between us become too much for us to stick with each other, right? When people join the church, you make a commitment to one another, to be for one another, to work with one another for God's purposes, to become the community that God calls us to be. One of the scholars that I read suggests that God gives us the gift of community, but we are called to make it work. And to do that, we have to be open to the variety of people that make up this community. And more importantly, to see each person that comes to our church and participates in our church as a gift from God for us, and not so much as a stranger to us. To see that whatever they bring in the way of experiences and gifts is part of what God thinks we need at this particular time. So the odder, the better. That's my thinking anyway. I was sitting around at one of the tables during this training I went to a couple of weeks ago, and I'm looking around at this group and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I belong to a group of odd ducks. There wasn't a one in there that wouldn't have fit that description in one way or the other, one of which you all know very well. Cliff was with us. Yeah, Cliff came on up. He was doing the training. It was a pleasure to see him. He wanted me to remember him to all of you and his love for you all. But as I was saying, I'm looking around this room and I'm thinking, this is some strange folks that God calls to lead the church and to attend to the church. And I think to myself, it's because the church is full of odd ducks. Now, I don't know, maybe you'd prefer to be called sheep. Or fish. I kind of like the term odd duck. It means that we all bring something unique and wonderful to this mix. And we need to start appreciating all of that beauty and weirdness. And remember that as other people come to join us, if they seem a little bit odd or they don't speak the same language we do, and by that I don't just mean foreign languages, I mean contemporary. I don't know about you, I have a little bit of trouble when I sit down with young people grasping everything they're saying to me. But I have to remember that they're bringing a gift to us. And that what we're called to do with them is eat together, study the scriptures together, share what we have with one another. Oh, and the one I forgot, worship together, worship and pray together, right? I think that what God is trying to do when God gathers us together, whether it's around the table, whether it's in the church, whether it's during a Bible study, I think what God is trying to do is inviting us to practice the skills we need to build the community. Caring for each other, praying for each other, sharing with each other, eating with each other. These are things we practice together as a church, so that when we go out into the community, we can do them out there without so much fear and hesitation. Because I think we're called to do the same out there. Eat with people and study with people and be in conversation with people and share the good news with people and pray with people. My friend Carol is a chaplain down at one of the nursing homes down in Aurora. Out in Aurora? No, down further, Joliet. And she calls me and says that she hangs out in the parking lot of Starbucks. Now, I thought it was a little weird that she hangs out in the parking lot and does... Well, she goes in through the drive-thru and gets her coffee and her breakfast, and then she just sits in the parking lot and waves to people as they go through the drive-thru. Now, you need to know Carol. This is her all the way. Odd duck that she is, blessing that she is to the world. She waves at people, and now she's starting to know a number of these people, because, you know, people are people of habit, right? We like our routines, and coffee is one of them. And so she knows these people, and they're waving back to her now. And so she sees one young woman come through who happens to be someone who works at the nursing care center, at the residential center that she's a chaplain at, and she knows that she's been off because of giving birth. And so she's got the little boy in the back seat and then the other little one, the brand new one in the thing. And so she gets out of her car and she goes over to the car, and of course they talk a little bit and she sees the new baby. And then she says to them, "Can I offer a blessing for the babies?" And the woman says, "Yes, please, that would be wonderful." Here in the Starbucks parking lot, she is blessing these children. Sometimes what we're doing here needs to be carried out there. This is just practice. What we do out there is really important. Because the spirit that is loose is not just loose in these church buildings, but is loose in the world and calling us to build community out there and inviting us to do it with the very same patterns and practices that we do here. Building relationships, praying for others, studying the scriptures together, eating a meal together, even if it has to be at the, you know, urban barbecue or something like that. Okay? So, this spirit is about building community. This spirit that's loose in the world is inviting us to take part in doing that. And what we do here is to practice those skills so that we can do them out there. Amen?